1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
The president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, Ms. Bobby Dooley, to talk with us about, well, she's a good-looking woman. Why wouldn't a handsome man check her out as she walks by him in the pool area at Western Estates? Is he busy or is he gay? 1-800-449-8686. Now, my very good friend and producer, Mark Newman, comes from Ramsey, New Jersey. And I'm going to tell you why in a moment. But Ramsey, New Jersey is a developed, modern, American suburban city. Suburban, to some extent, to the metropolis we know and love as New York. So you might say that Mark grew up in the metropolitan New York area. Modern, yes. Sophisticated, yes. A place where, well, just about all the amenities of life are available. And yet, only a mile away from where Mark grew up, live a people called the Ramapo Mountain People, otherwise known as the Jackson Whites. Will you turn that music off?
I thought you wanted mood music.
Not that stuff. How about something spooky, you idiot?
How about your face? How about I put your face to music? That's spooky.
Get out of here, bud.
But wait a minute.
Get out of here right now. I tell a guy I want some kind of mood music, and he lays in some freaking strip joint music. Anyway, the Ramapo Mountain People. Any of you guys ever heard of the Jackson Whites? I never had. Mark's telling me about it. And I don't know how we got on it. I get, were we talking about inbred people or something? But in any event, he says, hey, man, I grew up in an area where about a mile away were these inbred people, and they're really freaky. I said, well, who are they? The Jackson Whites. He says, I don't know much about them. I said, go online. Well, God, there's a whole bunch of stuff about the Jackson Whites. Not the Jackson Five. That's the little joke. Thank you. But the Jackson Whites. Now, the Jackson Whites, also known locally and in the pejorative, I don't know why this is a pejorative, is the Jackson Whites are an extended clan of, this is off the internet, okay, so it's got to be true. Yeah, right. No, but I mean, it's Encyclopedia Britannica, it's cross-referenced, it's there, baby. They're an extended clan of closely interrelated families living in the Ramapo Mountains, and they're more remote valleys, principally in Bergen County, New Jersey. Is that the county you're from, Mark? Principally in Bergen County, New Jersey, but also in immediately adjacent Passaic County, New Jersey, and Rockland County, New York. Now, they have largely Dutch surnames, De Groot, De Vries, Vandernak, Mann, all of that, and all of their variant spellings, and they're among the oldest in the countryside, the names are, and they predate the Revolutionary War. They predate the Revolutionary War. They live only 30 miles or so from downtown Manhattan, which lies just across the Hudson River. Now, it goes on to say that they are a shy, gentle, proud, and reclusive people who, until relatively recently, seldom ventured far from their mountain homes. They are racially mixed. There are elements from Native Indian, Negro, Dutch, and possibly German, Hessian, and Italian bloodlines. Now, the Hessians were the soldiers that came to fight with the Americans in the Revolutionary War. Didn't they fight with us or with the British? They might have fought with the British. I don't know who the hell they fought with. I thought the frogs were with us and the krauts were with them, but it could be the other way around. Their isolation has resulted in their isolation. Now, this is 30 miles from New York. Their isolation has resulted in a high degree of intermarriage among the families. Now, for those of you who have heard lately that intermarriage is, hey, and all that that birth defect stuff is a lot of hooey. Really? Listen to this. Their intermarriage among families has on occasion produced genetic anomalies such as syndactyl, which is fusion of the fingers or toes, polydactyl, extra fingers or toes, pie baldness, whatever that is. Don't say it, man. If you say it, I'll kill you, bud.
I was going to just...
Don't say it. Pie baldness, albinism, meaning albinos, sometimes distinguished by a grayish skin color and mental retardation. Did you ever see that movie, The Hills Have Eyes? Thank you. Now we're getting a little bit closer to it. The majority of the members of the extended clan, however, are robust, intelligent people with striking good looks. Yeah, right. You know how they always got to put in something good? Because it's like, this is America, a proud land, a shy people. Yeah, like the Amish are shy? Yeah, they're shy, man, until you won't help them raise a barn. Then the next thing you know, they got you tied to freaking Burning Man. The majority of the members of the extended clan, however, are a robust, intelligent people with striking good looks. In general, members of the clan have light to dark bronze complexions, light eyes, and curly hair, usually jet black or brunette, but heads the size of apples. Now, I didn't, that's not in there. Jet black or brunette, but occasionally pure white. Their facial features display a mixture of Indian and Negro characteristics that have set them apart from their neighbors for centuries. Yeah, I guess. For more than any other aspect, it is their looks that have isolated them, marked them, and endangered the many lies, engendered the many lies, misconceptions, myths, and legends that surround them in the local oral history of the region. Now, Mark just told me that when he was a kid, he and his friends were screwing around with some motorcycles. Now, this is a mile away from where he grew up. These people live up in the mountains. And he said they got surrounded by a bunch of these people. And they had to break through. They had to bust through the Jackson White people with their small heads and their piebaldness. The clan now prefers to be called the Ramapo or Ramapo Mountain People or the Ramapo Mountain Indians. In the 1980s, as a result of an activist movement led by tribal author and historian Moselle Van Dunk, are you putting me on? Is this a gag website? Is this The Onion? No, it isn't. This is for sure. I'm reading this off a place called NetStrider documents. They petitioned the Bureau of Indian Affairs with support from the Attorney General of New Jersey and New York for recognition and status as a bona fide Indian tribe. So what we're saying, are they Indians? Well, yeah, but they are not like with German names and gray skin and fingers that are fused together. What is that, some proud tribal trait? My people's fingers, all fused together. Great, man. You ever play any baseball? Because I could use a first baseman. Isn't that funny? Funny white man. Well, it'll save me on mitts. The Bureau classifies them as black, not Indian. Okay, now I'm scared. Didn't it just say that there's some white folks up there, too? Now, the legend, according to the first part of the legend, the first settlers in the Ramapo Mountain were Tuscarora Indians. They fled northward on the Cumberland Trail, blah, blah, blah. They were joined shortly after their arrival by runaway slaves. You hear a lot of that in American history. Runaway slaves split and went and hung out with Indians. Like the Seminole Indians in Florida, they protected a lot of slaves. And as a result, there was intermarriage. So you'll find a lot of African Americans will say, wait a minute, man, I qualify for Indian status. And that hangs them up. Nobody wants to do that. Oh, yeah, you're black. Well, wait, I got Native American blood. And see, that's what you call institutional racism. You ever hear that? It doesn't mean people are clan, you know, hood-wearing Klansmen. It just means they just go with this imbecilic definition of things, which, you know, excludes people sometimes. So now these Indians are joined by these runaway blacks, referred to in those days as Jacks, the sons of black freedmen from the plantations of nearby Hudson Valley and the Catskill Mountains also joined them, and they also brought with them their former master's Dutch surnames. They intermarried with the Indians, possibly the local Lenni Lenape Indians, and they were named after a guy named Lenni Lenape, really, and he had a...
You tell me not to do it, but you're an idiot.
They were named after the Lenni Lenape Indians. It's at this time that their local neighbors may begin to refer to these people as the Jacks and Whites. According to the second part of the legend, during the War of Independence, the army of the British Army, commanded at New York, contracted with a colonial sea captain and trader named Jackson to bring 3,500 prostitutes recruited in the cities of England to New York to serve the garrison. On the transatlantic voyage, one of the 20 ships in the convoy foundered during a storm, and most of the passengers were drowned. The clever and industrious Jacksons made for the West Indies and picked up an additional 400 black women to replace those lost at sea. Oh, so some of these prostitutes threw in with the Jackson Whites and the Jackson Blacks. They were segregated from the... I don't know, man. It starts to get really involved here, dude. I can't read this whole thing, but... The Jacks and Whites eventually became Jackson Whites. They were despised by their respectable lowland neighbors, either for having been Tory sympathizers for their mixed blood or for being black or Indian or outlaw, and all of that and more. From 1800 on, the Jackson Whites had little to do with the world outside their Ramapo Mountain retreat and the few towns and villages. It's kind of heavy. So they were Germans that ran away, they were Italians that ran away, the people got, you know, white prostitutes from England, black prostitutes, Indians, blacks, and they're all up there. And the Jacks were the runaway slaves, and the Whites were everybody else. And they were the Jacks and Whites, and then they eventually just became the Jackson Whites. And this article is a little conflicting because, I mean, either these cats are freaky looking or they're not, man, you know? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Take a phone call here if anybody's got any information. RC, go ahead.
See, that's what I'm talking about, Mr. Henry. We ought to go up with a flamethrower and burn them out of there. To me, it's just...
Wait, why?
Well, you heard what you were reading. They've got squirrel heads and piebaldness.
Do you even know what that is?
No, sir, I don't. But with fingers fused together and all the first baseman gags, we need to go up there and burn them out. I'm with Bradley Military Academy, and we're training.
All right, what are you, reading a script?
Yes.
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Keep that kid on the line. Pastor William Rennick has joined us. Pastor, how are you doing?
Phil, I'm doing very well. I listened to what you were saying about the Jackson Whites. I had heard about these people in some missionary work we had done, actually, working in the Allegheny Mountains, working for Vista back in the 1960s. And we were working with the hillbilly people, you know, the mountain trash. And I had heard about the Jackson Whites, but I've never been there, and I'd love to pay a missionary visit to these people and bring some things to them to show them that we are not people that are—we are not an exclusionary people. We include everyone.
Well, I—that's nice, but my understanding is they don't cotton to outsiders.
Well, I'd like to bring them some things. Miss Claire and I are going on a whirlwind trip down to Disney World, and we're going to go. And I'd love to bring the children some Mickey Mouse hats. You know what I'm?
Well, that'd be nice. I don't know.
But I don't know what size. You say, do they make mouse hats in apple size? Because if the real small mouse hat...
Hold on for a minute. What do you mean apple size?
You just got done saying they got little tiny heads. So now I got to search all over the place for a Mickey Mouse hat the size of a grape.
Here. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
See, these Jackson White people, they really want to be called the Ramapo Mountain people. They don't like the term Jackson White because it's a derivative of the term Jacks and Whites. And as I mentioned, Jacks is a runaway slave, and the Whites were like, I guess, some mountain trash that was white, like Dutch. A lot of these people intermarried with Dutch farmers, and so there was, you know, they say that there's very little Indian blood among the Jackson White or the Ramapo Mountain people, that they're mostly black, but, you know, there's also, like I say, there's the racial mixing going back to the, like, 18th century, and anyway, the intermarriage has caused light coloration of their skin, and there is albinism, or albinos. And these birth defects, these deformities that we mentioned of the hands and the feet. And then Mark is telling me that, you know, here's the whole thing. People would tell the kids as recently as like when Mark was a kid, hey, don't go up to the mountain there. And this is like a mile away from where he grew up, man. He grew up in metropolitan New York. 1 mile away is come and listen to a story about a man. I mean, it's worse than that. Well, it's not worse, but it's 1 mile away from Ramsey, New Jersey, where Mark's father took the train into New York, where Mark played baseball, where his sister danced ballet, where the whole family would get together and carve the turkey. Just 1 mile away from that festive, friendly scene, eyes stared through in the dark. Ooh, piebald and with fingers fused together, they plotted. Ooh. All right, now here's a guy named Matt. And how you doing, Matt? Good evening.
Good. How are you?
Where are you from, man?
I'm from the next town over.
Okay, now where's that at? What's that town?
It's called Suffern. It's right on the border of New York.
Suffern, New Jersey, right? Oh, Suffern, New York. Suffern, New York.
Yeah.
Now, you heard about the Jackson Whites when you was a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about it. What did they tell you? Don't go up there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. From a small boy, I was told not to go up there. There's only one way up and one way down the mountain.
Okay, now, what did they tell you?
It's a pretty dangerous place. They like their privacy.
Otherwise, what do? They'll gut a kid like you and eat him? Eat him for dinner?
I don't know. I've never been up there.
I tell you tales of cannibalism. Did you ever see any of the Jackson White folks, the Ramapo people?
Yes.
What do they look like?
Yes. They have dark skin.
Right.
With Indian features.
Uh-huh.
And pretty much straight hair.
What is that, Pastor Rennick? What's that?
Well, did they wear a headdress? Did they wear any buckskin or loincloth, anything like that?
No.
No? What do you mean by that?
Well, I wanted the young man is saying they're Indian featured. Did they wear suits, business suits?
Well, what do you mean?
Just was that their native dress?
Business suits? Well, they've dressed like anybody else, I guess, right, Matt?
Yes.
All right, so you're saying you did see them in business suits?
No.
You did not? Did they wear polyester?
Will you shut up? Did they wear polyester? Okay, Matt, thanks, brother.
Yep.
I think that guy was one of the Ramapo. You know, did you hear he was very tight-lipped? He didn't want to give me information. I think he was sent by the Jackson White people. Call that talk show and get him off our trail. Yeah. What color are they? White, blue, pink, blue, pink. Let's go. Is this guy Jack? He's also a guy. See, we're just getting, this is what we call the anthropological aspect of the Phil Henry Show. The Jackson White people and just how big are the hats they wear. Here is Jack. Hello, Jack.
Hey, Phil. Great talking to you.
Nice talking to you, man.
I grew up in the area and I know for a fact they exist. They're there. When I was a kid, 4 years old, I learned about them because we used to pass a graveyard, and my mom always said, "This is where the Jackson Whites are buried." I'm like, "Well, what does that mean? I have no idea what that means." Be like, "Well, there's a big fire. We don't know if somebody set the fire back in the late 1800s, but they burned a couple of houses down, a little settlement down. They're all buried here, but they do exist. They're around."
You mean they killed some of these folks, huh?
They tried to blow it away like it didn't happen, but they do exist. They're straight haired. They're a lot of albinos. I've never seen the webbed fingers or feet, but then again, I don't get that close. But they're
what the hell, man? I mean, what are we talking about here? A lot of albinos.
They're glassy eyed.
Well, this is like something out of Day of the Dead, man. Glassy eyed, straight haired albinos don't go up there. But see, Mark was doing a construction job up there. He went up. And was doing
he got out before the sun set down.
Well, that's exactly what they told him. They said, "Don't go up there after dark." Right?
He's, yeah.
What was that, man? Was that your pig needing dinner? I just heard a squeal. Okay, yeah, I'm scared. I got to hang up on the guy. I'm scared now. Now I'm scared. Now I think I'm going to go down to my car, and there's going to be a straight-haired, glassy-eyed albino waiting for me with a subpoena. I'm going to get sued by the tribe, man. So that's kind of heavy, and I don't know how we got. What were we talking about, Mark? We got into that, but this the whole thing about these people. You know, this country, man. If you think you know America, you think you know the world. We think the Amish are like sort of strange, you know, or the Mennonites are, you know, just these pockets of people. But that's the whole thing about this country. I mean, people want to come here and be who they are. Now these people got isolated. Remember, they got isolated because they were Tories. Meaning they were sympathizers with the British. So that's how it started. And then the intermarriage, because a lot of them were runaway slaves as well as freed slaves. So they had every legal right, such as the law was in those days, to be where they were. There were also runaway slaves. So they were protecting a lot of runaways. They were Tory sympathizers, prostitutes. So in other words, real outcast people and the kind of people that politically are going to take a lot of crap. And eventually they just decided, you know, we're going to live up here at our mountaintop and the rest of you can go pound sand. And if you come up here, well, guess what? The kettle's on the boil. We'll take your firstborn. Looks like chops and livers to me. Really out there. Yes, Pastor.
I don't like being hung up on, Phil. I'm a man. I just want to know what size hat I should get.
If you say one more grape size hat, dude.
Well, how big are the heads?
Don't forget it. Keep your Mickey Mouse hats. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby Dooley is with us from the Western States Homeowners Association. Bobby, just briefly tell me what transpired where you live at Western Estates. It's a community in the valley, the West Valley of Los Angeles.
I feel like I want to start off by saying it doesn't have anything to do with inbreeding.
Well, because of our Jackson White thing?
Well, I was very interested in that, but it sounds like it almost sounds as if you're making it up because...
Well, I wasn't.
No, I believe you, but you wonder how something like that can happen in our country. And it just, it really frightened me, but I want to, Phil, talk a little bit.
Well, I mean, how it happens in the country is it's, people come together in funny ways.
Well, Phil, the thing I wanted to talk to you about really is, and first of all, I am a happily married woman. There's nothing about me that wants, Steve and I have been happy and happily married for 15 years, but I do a lot of cardiovascular working. I do a lot of Pilates. I do a lot of stretching. I do a lot of spinning. I do dress to flatter my figure. And I think it's normal for any woman who's done a lot of work on herself and looks good in the mirror to expect to a certain degree that when you walk by a man, he's going to glance up or he's going to make some kind of visual appraisal, I guess, if you will, Phil, of you. So it was with that in mind that I was a little bit disturbed last week walking over to our Homeowners Association office. I go by the Magnolia Phase pool, and sitting over there with a laptop computer was a gentleman, a very nice-looking man who has recently moved into the community. And I walked by him, and you sort of, you know, expect it. After a while, it becomes very automatic, and it didn't happen. And I had to sort of catch my breath a little bit when I sat down in the office.
What didn't happen?
Well, what I mentioned to you, he did not look up, and, you know, the kids use the phrase, check her out. He didn't check me out. Now, as I walk into our office, we have a sliding glass door. The sliding glass door reflects people who are sitting at the pool. So you look in it to see if, well, maybe he waited for me to go by, and then he's going to look up and look at my, you know, stuff, you know, as the kids say. And he didn't do that. Well, this went on for about 5 or 6 days, and I remember I had shortness of breath on one of the occasions.
Why?
Because you just don't believe it can happen. This is the 21st century. You think that things like a man not wanting to look at you from the waist down, from behind, those days are over. And yet, it's right. You know, I was listening to your story about the Jackson Whites. And you want to almost think that this man is some kind of a mutant. You know, that.
Well, all right, Bobby, what you're telling me is, you're a happily married woman, and you're not looking for, excuse me, not looking for another man, but you're flattered by a man looking at you, and this guy didn't look at you.
No, he did not look at me. And there's not a woman out there that doesn't know what I'm talking about. When you do the kind of work that I do on my body, and dress the way that I dress, and believe me, Phil, I dress tastefully, but I do dress to show it. And I dress in such a way so that it's tasteful, but you can get a pretty decent look at what I've got. Now, and I'm saying this because I know it's late and the kids are in bed. When this man doesn't even have the decency to look up from his computer and pay me the compliment at looking at what it is that I've, you know, that I'm basically offering to show him is...
Well, what do you mean offering to show? You're not naked.
No, of course not.
Well, all right, what are you talking about?
What I'm saying, Phil, is that I dress in a very businesslike way, but it is pretty tight. So there isn't a whole lot that you have to... There's not a lot of groundwork you have to do, you know, in terms of visualization. And when a man doesn't take that opportunity, you really... This is what we mean when we say gaydar.
And all right, okay. Now, here's what... You're saying because this guy...
No, this is really what we mean by gaydar.
No, you're saying because this guy didn't look at you every day, he didn't look at you?
No, he's looking at... Well, I mean, one of the days he said good morning, but it was very... There wasn't anything in the way he said good morning that indicated he was interested, you know.
Yeah, but you don't... You're not trying to get that kind of attention.
Not for me, no. But I do, you know, I like to know that the world is still working the way it's supposed to work. I can't explain it.
Well, all right. So the guy didn't look at you. Now you think he's gay.
Well, I don't think there's any other conclusion, Phil. You know, to take a page out of the book that you were just writing this last half hour, which was a lot of fun. If the fingers are webbed together and you're in New Jersey, you're... It's a Jackson White. And if a man doesn't look at me, it's gay.
Can I take a break?
Sure.
I mean, sure.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
But I'm an attractive woman, and I am the president of the Homeowners Association. So that's really, Phil, what we think is a wonderful solution to the problem. And then you're not going to be offending women who, you know, expect after all of the work they've done in their bodies to be looked at.
All right. Bobby Dooley with us from the Homeowners Association of Western States. But in the bylaws of a homeowners association, is it likely that you're going to get passed an amendment that says that you must, when the president of the homeowners association walks by, you must look up and acknowledge her?
Well, I don't think it's look, Phil, we have varying signs of respect for people. To look up when I walk by and nod, and we're not talking about a full bow. We're talking about just a tilt of the head.
So what does that do?
Well, first of all, that man that ignored me for, my God, about six mornings straight would at least look up and see me.
Well, yeah, but you're asking this guy to bow?
I did not say bow.
Well, you're asking a guy to acknowledge you as the Homeowners Association president, so...
Well, at least then he is visually making eye contact with what, you know, as the kids say, with what I got.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Joanna, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I was talking about that lady that called in about the man not looking at her.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
You know, maybe the man is married, and maybe he has a beautiful wife at home to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe he's caught up in his work and
mm-hmm.
not interested in his work and other women.
Well, but this was six mornings in a row I walked by him. I walked by him even closer each morning so that I was practically brushing by him. And not once did he look up and check it out.
Well, he might be preoccupied or...
Mm-hmm.
No, it's great that you're in good shape and that most of the 99% of the men look at you. That's fantastic, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you deserve it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You know, every once in a while, there is a man that is in a very happy relationship, and, you know, maybe he has a beautiful woman at home.
Well, I don't understand. Why wouldn't he look at me, though? See, that's the whole thing. See,
well, like I said,
Joanna,
you know,
can I ask you a question, dear? Are you from Bergen County, New Jersey?
No, honey, I'm living in Tennessee.
Oh, okay. So you don't know any of the Jackson Whites?
No, I sure don't.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
All right, she's not a Jackson White.
Do you know about the Jackson Whites? It's really interesting. Mr. Hendry was talking about them. They are a racially mixed, very isolated community in New Jersey dating to the time of the Revolutionary War. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is, yes.
And they're intermarried to the point where their fingers are webbed together. And
all right, come on. Let's not talk about these poor people in a disparaging way. There are a community of people we were talking about, Joanna, that are very fascinating. They're Indian, black, and white, and they live together, and they were English sympathizers, and they've intermarried.
And they have heads the size of a peach. And
they do not have heads the size of a peach.
Joanna, let me ask you something, darling. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello? You turn the heads of men, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, so you know what it's like to have a man check it out.
Of course, yes.
He's looking at your rear end.
Yes.
All right, don't you dress to accentuate that?
Sure, yes.
And when you've got that beautiful butt sitting there, and he doesn't even so much as glance up and go, good morning, and doesn't even look higher than your butt, but basically is saying good morning to your ass. Doesn't it insult you if he doesn't do that?
No, it doesn't bother me, because I really feel like that. You know, he's preoccupied. He's maybe mm-hmm. got a woman at home.
Mm-hmm. Are you blonde?
No, honey, I'm not blonde. I'm white, happily married.
No, I didn't ask you if you were black. I said, are you blonde?
No, I am not blonde.
Well, I want to know, how old are you?
I'm 44.
Do you, you don't know who the Jackson Whites are?
Will you get off of that?
Hey, I just got off work.
All right, look at, Joanna, thank you.
But I just think it's wrong for a gay man, to sit there and not tell people, by the way, I'm not looking at you because I'm gay. Don't you think that's fair, Joanna? Huh, Joanna? Joanna? Huh?
We lost the woman. And I'm losing you.
Oh, so in other words, you're gay too.
That's right, I'm gay too, Ms. Dooley. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. I'm gay. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
This guy wrote an article. He grew up in New Jersey, and he lived in this neighborhood where one of these Ramapo Mountain Indian, these Jackson White, one of the family moved there. And he says that he befriended the kid. His name was Junior. But this kid, Junior, had like blue plate special eyes. What does that mean, blue plate special eyes? Like remember the one dude saying that the eyes were glazed? Anyway, he befriended the kid. Now, this kid, remember, the kid comes from these Jackson White people don't come from anywhere more than 30 miles from New York. And yet he would tell this kid about going into New York City and going to the Thanksgiving Day Parade or seeing the Rockettes at Radio City Music Hall. And the kid was all like, wow, like he was talking about Mars. All right, I want to tell you that our webcast, third or fourth webcast, I'd have to go on the website and actually, by the way, pie baldness is just baldness. I think you're right, Harry. So they're bald. What the hell? What, do they go bald at 10? Yes, the Jackson Whites, the Ramapo Mountain people. Pie bald. Well, excuse me, I think it's called male pattern baldness. Oh, really? For 11-year-old girls? Oh, okay. Anyway, we're going to be doing our next webcast on the 11th. That's the 11th of November now, if you'd like. Go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com. Got some nice features there for you this week. There's a really interesting picture, by the way, of Sarah Shahi and how do you pronounce Sarah's name? She's going to kill me, man, when she sees me. Matt Winston and Justin Bartha from our TV show, soon-to-be TV show Teachers, singing karaoke at some... They told me about this place. It was like a one room. It's like going into renting a closet and singing in there by yourself. I don't know, man. Pastor William Rennick's blog is up. Pastor William Rennick's blog is on our homepage, as well as our DVD pick of the week and part 6 of Phil Drives to Work. Now, while you're there, get a backstage pass for $6.95 a month. You listen to all of the archive comedy, all of our, the 30-day archive of full shows. So that means the 3-hour show in its entirety is archived for 30 days. Now, if there are individual bits that you want to hear, go into our bit archives. You can hear the individual phone calls and character bits. And these go back many, many years, and we're always adding stuff. In fact, I think we just got another delivery. There's always like listeners of ours that find material that they either recorded themselves or they scour the net. For bootleg stuff that we may not have, and we get it. Most of it's in pretty good shape. That one you heard today was an MP3, wouldn't that, Mark? So, in any event, once you get the backstage pass, you have all of that at your disposal, and you'll also be able to see our webcast on the 11th. The release of our 2005 Best Of CD, Are You For Real?, is just moments away. We will do a signing. And all of the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Don't forget, on the 13th of November, my friend's place will be having a very, very special benefit It is called Today's Health, Tomorrow's Hope. Please go to their website, www.homelessyouth.org. Find out more about my friend's place, the great work that they're doing. Christopher Titus will be there, among others. And, again, that is on the 13th of November.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.